Hagmann and Hagmann Report. This segment, you are going to want to be buckled in. Guarantee it. There will be turbulence. It's not going to be clear air turbulence either. It's going to get rough. Do me a favor. Number one, subscribe to our YouTube channel. Number two, pass this segment along via your social networking as far and wide as possible, because we have with us the honeybee. That's right. Known on Twitter as Melissa the honeybee. Okay, that's Melissa Zachariah, but known as the honeybee. If you look on your screen, if you're watching this via YouTube, you can see Melissa the honeybee. All right, now, this is going to be a little bit different, because we have heard from so many people. What do we do? What can we do? We want to expose the people who are trafficking in children. Children are the currency of the elite, in my personal opinion. And I think that this must, well, I know this must stop. The sexual abuse of children, the human trafficking. This is the third rail of politics. This is the third rail of broadcasting. This is the third rail of just of society. And we don't talk about this in polite company. It exists, but we keep it over there, because no one really wants to talk about it except people like our guest, Melissa the honeybee, who we're so glad to have with us. Melissa, come on in. How you
doing? Thank you so much. Thank you for having me again. It's a pleasure being with you both. And, you know, this epidemic is far greater than I think anyone could even imagine. And the fact that there are people out there that are really trying hard to make this a public thing. You know, there are people out there that are tweeting, they're calling out these businesses and MSM that are ignoring the issue and really trying to put it out on their platforms, using their platforms. I mean, you guys, you're doing a great thing. You're using the power of your subscribers and your platform to talk about this very important thing that a lot of people, they don't want to talk about it. It's very hard to talk about.
But it's people such as yourself who are in the trenches. And this is going to be a little bit different tonight, folks. Melissa's here to talk. The honeybee is here to talk about the steps that you, the listener, the viewer, can take to get in the fight, to make a difference. We all say, well, what can we do? Well, Melissa's here to help us, to give us some suggestions, some things that she is doing. And as a matter of fact, if you go to her YouTube channel, you can watch some significant instructional, informational videos. Just search. In fact, it's in our program description, a link to her YouTube channel, Melissa Honeybee Zachariah. Okay, so, but having said that, let's start out with this. We're seeing the normalization or attempted normalization of all things pedophilia related. And we knew that this was going to happen, but we're seeing this really, take place through Hollywood, through, the acceptance of light sentences of government officials, for example, and so many other ways.
But acceptance of Islam also.
Right, which is just mind blowing, by and of itself. Now, you had issued, I think you had authored or created a petition. Is that correct? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, I actually created a couple of petitions. That video that I sent you today, I had done a few months ago, and immediately upon creating that petition, I had done that video. So that was pretty much done within the month. They give you a month to be able to get 100,000 signatures, and you know, I shared it. I emailed it to friends and family. It was on Facebook, on Twitter, on Vote, everywhere. And it only had 9 signatures. And I know that there were well over 100 people that had signed the petition. So there is this level of censorship going on, you know, at the highest level here. So I have reintroduced the position again today, actually, to focus on government officials, public officials, government contractors, and anyone in a capacity of a corporate structure, which is a high-level corporate agent, is usually looked upon as a public official. Anyone in Hollywood is a public official. It really depends on your state, but most of the time they are included in that. That these people, once they are convicted of child sex crimes, abuse of children, exploitation of children, whether it's pornography or right out molestation or rape, we don't want them to work in the government anymore. We don't want them to provide services for us anymore. We don't want to watch their TV shows or their movies or listen to their music. So I'm calling out our government, our Congress, to reevaluate how we look at the aftermath of these convictions. Because in my research, especially looking at D.C., I found that many of these government officials, once they are arrested and convicted, they serve their very short sentences, and they come right back out of the gates in a private capacity where they're working as government contractors, whether it's for technology or consulting. They're back in there with their buddies who were covering their butts all along, and still having a way of being in control of what's going on in our society. And it's got to stop. It's not. I've found people working at this Air Force base in Los Angeles for the Space Superiority Directorate that made pornography with their daughter, and they're now working on technology.
I can't believe this. When I read this, I had to read it two or three times. You point out that Cynthia and Hugh Boone of Los Angeles, they are part of the Los Angeles United States Space Superiority Directorate at L.A. Air Force Base. They made pornographic films and images of their own daughter, and yet they are still working in that government
position.
And that's
that video from a couple of months ago. Yes. Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Yes.
And I would direct everyone to, I believe it's linked in the program description as well, but I would direct everyone to watch that because a very masterful detective piece that the Honeybee did as she dissected this case. If you want to talk about this or wherever you want to go, whatever makes sense to you, because we have so much ground to cover, I don't want to, you know what, Melissa, you're the expert here in this respect. I don't want to cause you to stumble, or we don't want to cause you to stumble. So however you want to take this and lay this out, you just go right ahead. If you want to address this or.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, those first few videos that I did at the beginning, I mean, I'm very new at this. I'm not a professional private investigator. I'm not a professional YouTube personality. You know, I work in the restaurant industry usually. You know, I've done public speaking in the past. I'm comfortable talking in front of people. But this particular, you know, this movement of research that I'm not the only one doing this. This is like a group effort. People are actually starting to do their own research and present the information. And that's almost becoming the real news at this point. So, you know, looking up these particular cases, and I'm just perusing the sex offender registry for people that are accused of child sex crimes, that are working in the government. If it's a private individual, like I said, I don't continue the investigation. I'm directing it towards public officials because that's where I think we need to start as citizens, is calling out the government for letting these things take place. So, you know, I look up their information and I'm blown away by what I see. There is literally a ring around the White House and the State House of convicted child sex offenders that work or have worked in the government. It's a pedophile ring. You know, I even put the little dots on a map in one video and showed people that this is really going on. And that's the key. It's actually showing people and connecting and sharing with each other the information. And, you know, I've really gotten a lot of feedback. I have a lot of subscribers very quickly. And it's because I think I'm giving people hope that they can actually do something about this. And, you know, that's a big part of why we're here today, is because I really want to show people how I find out what I find, what you can do about being a part of bringing it down. And, you know, we just had some censorship there in the beginning of the video because of the wording. I'm quite sure it was because of the wording. You know, I'm all about crushing the pedophile agenda. And that, unfortunately, might be a little scary wording for some people. But at this point, I mean, we've got Antifa attacking people in the street right now with bike locks. And I'm sure we'll get into the Eric Clanton story in a little bit. But we need to start taking action.
Yes.
So besides your usual, you know, obviously, if you see any sort of child pornography or any sort of exploitation online, you have to report it to the authorities. So, you know, it's as simple as there's three places you should always report every time. Always report it to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Personally, I'm not a huge fan of how they're running their operation. They have a lot of work to do, and I'm working on that, you know, trying to figure out what's going on with them. But you need to report it to them. So you can call them at 1-800-843-5678. You can go to their cyber tip line. It's missingkids.com/cyber tip line, and you can put the links in there. I think they actually let you write, you know, the whole situation out and just send it off. Okay, that's the most important part, is getting it to the authorities. You want to also call or make a complaint at the FBI. So you call them up, you find your local FBI field office, you call them up and you tell them what you saw. They're going to ask you for the link. You're going to tell it to them verbally, because you don't want to save things on your computer. Never save images on your computer of child pornography, because you are incriminating yourself and breaking the law. You have to be very careful with this stuff. Also, you want to go to the IC3.gov website, which is specifically the Internet Crime Complaint Center for Internet Crime Against Children.
All right.
You can do that as well.
Now, let me stop you there, because one of the first questions I'm sure people are going to have is, you call up the FBI and say, hey, you know what, just found some child porn on this website. They're going to say, okay, would you... The first thing I would think of is, as I'm walking through this in my mind, is I'm going to be implicated as a complainant for child pornography. How do you circumvent that? How do you circumvent
that? So, my situation, I was on a platform called vid.me, and I was creating content there at the beginning of the year, and there are many, you know, different people putting up different sorts of content. It's almost like a Facebook/YouTube. And we were getting a lot of flack for the Pizzagate, Pedogate videos that a lot of us were putting up, and we were being censored by the platform anyway. But we started to find a lot of inappropriate videos. I actually reported a gentleman. I wouldn't call him a gentleman, I'm giving him too much credit, but he's a convicted pedophile. I did my sleuthing on this person and found out that he lives pretty close to me, and was putting videos that were very inappropriate of young girls, insinuating that he was going to meet them and he would talk to them on buses, and just really inappropriate stuff. I had the police go to his house. So at that point, you know, I was kind of enraged already with this platform. We weren't able to find ourselves in the search bar. So when you put your name up in the top search bar, you didn't show up. Like, I didn't show up. So one day I put in the letter A, and a few of these pages came up, and the little thumbnails were of children, like naked children. And I almost fell out of my chair. I looked at the names of the profiles. I didn't click, you know, to go on the images. They were thumbnails. And that is what I worked with, is with thumbnails. I didn't go into anybody's page to watch videos or download any of the images. But I stumbled upon child pornography without even trying to look for it. Ugh. So they'll understand that. If you've got to be honest with them and just tell them, like, this is what happened. You know, I'm on Facebook and someone posted this on a page that I visit. It's child pornography. You can report that. I wouldn't be afraid of reporting it. Be afraid if you're the one that's looking for it and doing something and making it, okay? That's the people that should be afraid.
Right. If your search history should, obviously, in my experience too, dealing with, especially dealing with county and state officials, they're okay. FBI, as long as you present yourself properly, like you just explained, and I think you'll. But we have to do this. But what happens when the FBI or the federal agency is part of the problem? Then what?
Well, that's when you kind of have to start calling out these agencies and tagging them in your posts.
Yeah.
You know, and what I do when I report something, there's always the confirmation page, like especially on the FBI, the IC3.gov. It has, you know, check this out before you send it along, because then it disappears and you're out of the loop at that point. You're not involved anymore. So I always take a snapshot of what I wrote to them and all the details that I provided. If you can get a name of someone, that's fantastic. But usually in these situations, you don't know who they are or where they're coming from. So the information is limited. But put in as much information as you possibly can, descriptive information about the children, what they look like, how old they are, what's going on in the picture, and then actually save what you wrote so you have it for your records. So
exactly. Document everything.
Yeah, document everything. Take the notes. The times and the resources where you got them from. Cover your own tracks, and I mean, that's one of the most important things you can do. Otherwise, as you said, just inadvertently or even by trying to report some of these things, you could find yourself on the wrong end of a criminal prosecution based on the fact that you found it.
Right? Don't let that stop you, because if you're I'm very serious, as Melissa said, do not let that stop you. Especially if you're not. But anyway, all right. Melissa, go ahead.
After that, I know this might be hard for people to do, but you should call your local police station, and that's the extra step that I do, because I want my local law enforcement to know what I'm doing. You know, I'm not a vigilante, you know, going out there tracking down pedophiles and trying to beat them up in the street. I want the police to know that I'm working with people that are involved in sex trafficking cases, that have had their children taken away unfairly by CPS, that, you know, have people in their families that have created child pornography and their lives have been destroyed. I work with people like that. So my local police office knows what I'm doing. So when I do stumble upon something like this and I've sent a report to the FBI, I bring it all together, and I know that I've contacted the three agencies that check on each other, because if you know about the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, a lot of their reports that they receive, they are just sitting there until an authority comes along looking for evidence. They do, you know, for stuff that they think the child is in imminent danger, they will, I guess, move forward with their own law enforcement connections. But usually it's just sitting in a data bank at the NCMEC. So you have to report it to the FBI, because then they have to call the NCMEC. So you started a chain reaction of people trying to cover this. So you want everybody to know what's going on so they can't not do anything about it. They're forced. You're forcing their hand by doing that. So report to all of those three immediately before you go, you know, trying to comment on their page and tell them they're a jerk for putting this stuff up. You got to report it to the authorities, because that's the law.
Exactly. And hold on a second. I do want to just say this. There is a difference between surveillance, like you're doing, and then reporting, versus harassing and taking, not harassing, but hacktivism and taking something down. But you want, obviously, to first surveil, catch, and report before you do anything else. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
Right.
And I will encourage people to use report tools, but only, you know, on specific websites, because if you watched, I don't know if you watched the child advocacy like roundtable they had with the Congress a few months back. They had John Sheehan and Nancy Francie Hakes. She's a child advocate, used to work for the government. And they were talking about the issues and the obstacles that they have working in these agencies for kids. And one of the officers, and I don't remember his name, he represented an officer that worked with the National Center. And he was saying that they're at odds with these large platforms like Google and, you know, Facebook and Twitter, because they have their own set of rules for reporting. So once you report a video or an image on, you know, their platform, they like immediately take it down.
Exactly.
Sometimes, most of the time, but
and sometimes you get in your own way of you get in the way of your own investigation.
Exactly.
And
go ahead.
Well, we're talking about reporting these things to authorities, especially authorities in, such as the federal agencies, from the FBI to the DOJ. I mean, we do not know the extent that this perversion, how far it reaches inside government. You could have half of the FBI involved in these kind of things. We've already seen countless examples of sheriffs and in local police departments who were involved in these types of things. Franklin scandal, the Franklin cover-up is one of the great examples of that, where high-power politicians and police officers were taking part in the rapes of those young kids. So what one thing that we need to make sure we do is not only you know, compile the information and report it to all these different agencies, you need to send those same reports out to a number of alternative media stations who are also you know, folks that you can rely on and trust. That way the word will get out there, if it does not come out through the federal agencies and or the mainstream media, because you just don't know, you know, you could get yourself into trouble
right,
for reporting it to the wrong person in the wrong agency because they're involved in their involvement in it.
Exactly. And that's why I suggest reporting it to everybody, because yeah, then you're kind of covering your butt. Another part of that point where these, you know, platforms, they don't want to have problems with confidentiality, things that they have with their subscribers. So they're not able to give personal information over to the authorities because of, you know, when you sign up for Twitter or Facebook or whatever, you have a binding agreement with this platform. A lot of people just sign up for stuff. I know that me and Doug were talking about how people just willingly give their information away. They also very willingly sign up for things that they don't understand actually what they're signing up for. So when you sign up for a platform like that, they automatically are, they kind of take control of your data and everything that you've put on the website.
That's very
so if
true.
If you report something, you know, they could just get rid of it. And how do you know if they've reported it to the National Center or not? You don't know, you know, and they're obviously in Congress saying they don't give us the names of the people that have the child pornography up. They won't give us the links to those images and those videos. So there's a huge problem there. So I have a little bit of an issue really pushing you to report on those platforms. Just report it to the law. That's really all you're supposed to do. That's all you're required to do in this country is report it to law enforcement. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. And you did this very well, by the way, laid this out very well. And Melissa, and ladies and gentlemen, Melissa Zachariah, the honeybee, on Twitter and on YouTube. Follow her on Twitter. Subscribe to her YouTube channel. Support Melissa. She's doing phenomenal work, but you said it well. You said, report it to the, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, the acronym there, the FBI, and of course the IC3.gov, the three points of reporting, as well as insulate yourself through documentation. We're going to skip the break so you can continue forward. Melissa, you take it for wherever you want to go, however it makes sense to you. Let's just go ahead and continue.
Yeah, sure. So this is going to kind of segue into how you know, if you're not stumbling upon child pornography like some of us may be, and you're just dealing with the pedophile advocacy that is popping up all over the country, if those of you that aren't familiar, a lot of my work is against the pedophile advocacy groups that are trying to change legislation. They're organized and calling members to change the age of consent. They want rights for pedophilia. They want to be able to have no, you know, sentencing if they want to have a relationship or sex with a, you know, 7-year-old kid. That should be okay. There are many different colors of this. You have non-contact MAPS, they call themselves, where they're openly admitting that they're pedophiles, but they refuse to have contact with children. But intermingled with them, you have, you know, the virtuous pedophiles who used to be pedophiles and then decided they weren't going to do that anymore. You know, and then you have the pedosexuals. So this is the name they give themselves to justify child rape, to give themselves some sort of pseudo-designation of a sexual orientation, which it is not. It is a sickness. So these are the three types of pedophiles now that are coming together and organizing these groups, like Heart Progress, Our Love Frontier. You also have, you know, more government-like agencies like NARSOL, and the Before You Act, which is out of the Johns Hopkins University with Frederick Berlin, where they're trying to, you know, groom the public. And grooming is a federal offense, by the way. Groom the public to accept pedophilia as something that we need to wrap our hearts around and wrap our brains around. And they use a lot of these buzzwords like love and ageism. Age means nothing. And, you know, they're bringing in the Islam. They're really heavy on that. They post Islamic pictures of little girls, you know, posters that say, you know, you have a little 3-year-old girl, and then the slogan will be, "What I do with my husband in the bedroom is no one's business." I mean, they make these pictures and they put them on their website, and people are just like eating it up, you know. And they're calling pedophiles to like get together and try to change laws of pedophilia. So that's what I mainly am focused on right now, is outing them on many different levels. But if you want to get in on the fight, and it is a fight, folks, I'm not going to sugarcoat this topic. We need to fight against this. There are people in the street fighting for the most ridiculous things. We should be fighting even harder to attack this problem. So get online, find a network of people that are doing the same things. You don't have to go Pizzagate, okay? You can just look into Pedogate if Pizzagate's a little too fringe for you. You don't even have to go Pedogate. You can just look up Dennis Hastert. Look up Laura Silsby. It's on the Wikipedia what they've done, what the judges have said, and what their crimes are against children. This isn't like a fringe theory. So find that information. Get yourself familiar with what's actually going on, and find like-minded people that are doing something about it. I have a huge network of people on Twitter, and we are daily. We are talking. We're finding things out. We're sharing information publicly and privately. I've made so many connections on Twitter. I just joined it this year, and I'm just, like, amazed by how fluid it is with information. There's a lot of people that you can reach on these platforms, and you should be going out there and trying to find people that are doing it too. That's how you learn. You know, that's how you learn to find out what information is real and what's not real. How to protect yourself if you are going to start reporting people. I report profiles all day long for putting up inappropriate content of children. And they just come back the next day. I mean, these people in Heart Progress, I got them banned off of Twitter, off of Google+, I think we had maybe one or two YouTube videos taken down. I even got their website taken down, their official website taken down, and they're back up again. They're on WordPress, I'm fighting with WordPress right now to take them down. It's not an easy thing to do on the level that I do it. I mean, I dedicate every day, all day to this stuff, talking to people that are going through these problems in their personal lives as well. But you at home, you know, whether you're, you know, a young person who's really savvy on the computer, or you're just a stay-at-home mom who has some time while the kids are at school to just educate yourself on what's going on, get involved in these networks of people that are trying to do something about it, and you'll learn what to do. You know, I mean, I could give you a play-by-play, but I really think the most important part of that is connecting with people that are really trying to do something, and you'll find your niche.
And we've seen you connect with Craig Sawyer. We've seen you make a lot of great connections, and that's what others can do as well. If you don't mind, because of the time constraints here, if we can take a couple of steps back, where are we at with the Pizzagate, the Pedogate, the Anthony Weiner, the and folks, we do know the Presidio. We know the Franklin case. We understand all of these cases. And I saw a comment on Twitter directed at me. Look, this is not a political or partisan thing. This is not Republican, Democrat. This transcends politics. And it's certainly not a male or female thing. It transcends sex, gender, that is. So having said all that, where are we at with all of these things? In particular, Pizzagate, Pedigate, Weiner, Silsby, the larger aspect of how this kind of came to the forefront initially back right around before the election.
Sure. So, well, the information is out there. We have called so much information and evidence to really put some people under investigation. Why it's not happening is the concern. And, you know, I'm very friendly with Titus Ross. He lives very close to me. He is the one that broke into the Comet Ping Pong backdoor site with a hacker that was helping him do this. And they found stuff that's inappropriate and images of child porn and sent it to the D.C. police. And just recently, he's come out and said that the hacker is willing to come out publicly and dox himself to get this out there, because if evidence is being provided, good evidence, and Titus didn't give any of the major evidence because it's an investigation that we want to succeed, and that's a line we cross, you know, for me as well. When I find something that's really important, if it's something that could lead to an arrest, you really should report it to the authorities. It's after the fact, when nothing is done, that these videos and these networks get together and are like, what the heck? You know what I mean? We've known that this person has been guilty for 6 months now. We're going longer than that for Pizzagate. I mean, it's almost a year coming up in a few months. And we're still not seeing even an investigation into anything. You look at Ben Swan, who did that video. Okay, he did a video, very objective, just putting out the information that he saw was credible from the independent research resources that he had. And then the next day, he was ripped offline. He was censored. He was demoted in his job.
Yeah, in a local Atlanta TV station where he was picked up to do his reality check, which was very popular. And you're right, he did that in a way where he did not make any accusations. He just laid the facts out and laid the arguments from both sides out very objectively. And he was punished and ridiculed for it. And that is very telling of the subjects that you can't talk about. I wanted to ask you this, Melissa, because I see that in what you sent us for today about the dark web. Now, I've never been on the dark web. I really don't understand how it works. I couldn't access it from right now if you told me how. I just don't understand. I've always heard that it's either it's for criminal activity, and it's like a honey trap full of police officers and criminals, basically.
Well, it is. There is a lot of them in the dark web, but there's a difference here. So there, back in the 70s, the United States, I believe it was Naval Intelligence, they created the dark web. And if, to kind of put it into perspective for everybody, the internet that we use, like the Google, you know, or the Yahoo or whatever you use for your search engine, that is like 3% of the actual internet. That is called an indexed internet. So it's very controlled. That's why back when Hillary was running for president and you put in Hillary, you know, coughing or Hillary sickness, what used to come up was all the videos and articles about it. They censored that. So there's a lot of control when you're dealing with this very small media and business-driven website.
This is part of their agenda. And even the communist and totalitarian agenda is to rewrite history after the fact. Even things that don't seem that important, like you just said, Hillary Clinton, the health issues, the coughing fits that she has, that's a perfect example. Now you go back and try to find it, it's gone. But this was part of the Communist Manifesto and totalitarian tactics to change history in order to reshape the future in the way they want them to.
But the example here is the indexing of that subject. Right. So go ahead.
So even still, they're actually programming you too, because the results that come up is what they want you to see is important. So that's another portion of it too. There's definitely an underlying brainwashing going on with how they have the platform set up.
And now, I'm sorry, Melissa, for interrupting again. Just one last point. That's why Google is being sued by the EU for $2.7 million due to their manipulation of the indexing. And I don't know if that's
It's billion or trillion.
Billion, I think. Is it trillion?
No, no, it's a bunch.
It's trillion. But yeah.
It should be $1 billion.
That's right. But I wonder if that will deter them from changing their policies or not. But at least some action is being taken against the way that they index things.
Yeah. I mean, it's total corruption. This is all around money. And, you know, an agenda that they want to instill. They have an agenda. And, you know, unfortunately, we're finding it involves children and stealing children and trafficking them for big bucks. There's a whole industry of this above that level. But let's get back to the dark web. So the dark web is huge. It is a giant ocean of information. It has the back end of everything. So, like, if you go to your bank website, you know, you can sign in and you can just stay there. But when you go into the dark web, you're able to access way more information, you know, pertaining to how these websites are set up, back doors. There's websites that aren't even indexed, and they're not even bad websites. Some websites just are put on the dark web because people want their privacy. It's not a big, bad place. In theory, but a lot of bad people go there and do things that they're not supposed to. There's drugs, weapons, trafficking of organs, people. There's a lot of bad stuff on there. But the important part of the dark web is that you can maintain some sort of freedom. You can look for things that Google won't let you look for, news stories that have been squashed forever. Because you can go to the Wayback Machine and get old articles if they were archived. I mean, on the dark web, it's just open for you to find information. So going on the dark web, I do not recommend it for everybody. You need to set up security on your computer. You need to have a VPN, which masks your IP address so people can't come in. And there's people that have been on the dark web for 50 years, you know, they're superior to you in their hacking ability. So you have to be very careful. I would not suggest it. But I would fight for it, because those people, those hacktivists, okay, those people that are able to find information that the government, that, you know, the bad people on the dark web, you know, don't want you to find, they're able to get it. We need those people on our side, you know. And if you take a look back, I showed you a couple articles back in 2011 and then very recently in 2017, Anonymous has leaked pedophile rings, all of their names and their information, their IP addresses and everything. to shut down these rings. They're doing really amazing things. So we need the dark web. We need the hacking community to work with us. You know, they're not bad people. There are bad hackers, but there's very good hackers that really want to bring this down and to expose what's really going on, you know? So read those articles. They're fascinating. They're actually kind of funny because if you know anything about that sort of community, the hacking community, even on 4chan and, you know, Pull Forever, you know, all the way, they have a sort of funny way of doing things. You know, when they infiltrated the last website, they wrote, "You've been hacked," and it's just like a funny picture, you know, like something you'd see in a movie. It's not funny that's what they were having to deal with, but they do want to throw it in their face. You know, we have power. Expect us. We will find you. And I think that's a strong message.
I totally agree, and well said. And folks, you'll find these links in the excerpted, edited segment with Melissa. Now, Melissa, since Donald Trump has taken over, and since we've seen a new Department of Justice, have we seen any positive movement? Has there been a change since the Lynch Justice Department? Has there been any change?
I've seen a lot of transparency with arrests that have been going down. In the beginning, it was slow to start. I think that the first real big one that we saw in the United States was that L.A. Sex trafficking ring, the 474, that included 28 children. That was underreported, but it just set off a chain. I mean, there's been, I believe, over 3,500 arrests since Trump has taken office in the last January, February, March, April, May, June, July, 6 months. So that to me is very credible evidence that somebody up there is actually taking this seriously. They did release the trafficking in persons report. This is a report that is filed every year, but there was something about the way they presented it this year. I think more people were interested into knowing what it was and what was inside of it. It was in the news, so that's a big thing. It's not usually widely reported that report comes out. People want to know now. People are interested because there's people putting themselves out there on their larger platforms and spreading the news. And I think that even Trump saying multiple times, you know, we gotta get the pedophiles, we gotta bring them down. They're snatching the kids. You know, sex trafficking is a huge problem. You have remind me of his name, Scalise, right?
Scalise, representative, Scalise. Yes.
Just talking about child trafficking a week before, and then he gets shot down in the middle of a baseball game. There are people in high places that are trying to talk about this. They're getting thwarted, though. And if you notice, there's like a world against Trump right now, just trying to thwart him at every angle. I mean, yeah. I looked at the news reporting and the tone of how news centers are reporting on Trump, and it's like 90-10, you know, 90 being negative and 10% being positive light. I think Fox was somewhere in the middle. But it's so apparent to me that somebody doesn't want this to be common knowledge, you know, and I think that Trump is pushing for this. I think there are more people in the government that are good than bad, and I think they know that there's bad people in the government, and I think maybe wheels are turning and they're going to start turning on each other, I hope.
Yeah.
You know, something gives.
We hope too.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct in this. Now, the Vatican, we just saw this interesting Vatican news. What's your take on that?
Yeah, the sex scandal that rocked the highest levels of the Vatican.
Yeah, I mean, that is just, you know, just in May, the advisor to the, I believe it was the Sex Abuse Advisory Board for the Vatican, a woman, Mary Collins, she had been dealing with the victims of this that were in the clergy specifically. She had come out and she quit and made it very public that she quit because there were 2,000 plus backlogged cases of child sexual abuse in the Vatican that were not being addressed. And when she quit, the Pope actually admitted it and said, you know, she's right. You know, there are 2,000 cases of child sexual abuse that are not being addressed because we're understaffed. Sorry about that. I mean, this is a huge problem, especially for me personally and my soul, because I'm a Christian and I'm seeing the Vatican just like burning into a hellfire. And then just this week, you know, we see that the advisor to the highest secretary of the Pope is having sex orgies and drugs parties at their house, you know, and getting busted by the police. This is a huge issue that needs to be known. This is the Pope of our church.
Yeah.
And his advisors are having orgies and drug parties. What does that tell you about what's really going on behind the highest of the highest, folks? There is corruption at the highest level. And there's a lot going on in between, but for it to have gotten to this point, it's bad. It's really, really bad.
Yeah,
it is. Indeed. Especially when the Pope's concern is more about, you know, the president's decision to pull out of the climate accord and calling those who believe in man-made global warming as a hoax. You know, that they are basically, they're condemned to hell and they're not followers of Jesus and on it goes. And actually Pope Francis is, I read yesterday that he had protected a number of these, individuals, knowing that they were committing these kinds of crimes, and then made a plea yesterday to the public to go easy on these people. And it's mind boggling. And it's not just in the, you know, as we talk about in the political spheres of American politics, whether Democrat or Republican or elected officials, it's not just in the banking sector. It's not just in the sex trafficking from the cartels to other criminal organizations. It's in the top religion institutions in the world, from Islam to Catholicism, and it's almost accepted.
Yeah.
This is what we're up against.
Well, Lisa, explain NAPALM to us.
Sure. So NAPALM stands for Nations Against Pedophile Advocated Legislation and Mobilization. And it is my personal, like, call out to action for others to start doing something. We as a people need to start protecting our children in any way that we can. You know, the police, the FBI, the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, you know, I have a feeling that there are a lot of people in those agencies that are good-hearted, that want to help, but like we've seen, there is corruption in those agencies, and that's just the way it is. So instead of feeling helpless and not able to do anything, I want to provide a platform for people to be able to learn how to deal with this, have a place to come and talk to me about it. I mean, I'm very open to speaking with people that are dealing with cases. But it's also about coming together as a team and starting a movement to actually do something, whether it's make a video, harass a pedophile online. And yes, I harass them online. I will argue with them until I'm blue in the face. And I say it over and over again, children cannot consent. Over and over. It's a trigger for them. They hate hearing it because it's true. And it's the only thing they have against them. And that's what we should do. We should give them hell.
Yeah.
Because that's what they want to, they want to, they want to hurt kids. And they're trying to justify their actions as being a loving, tender kind of affection. But it's really not. It's a tool to manipulate children into getting what they want from the children. It has nothing to do with love. It is a manipulation tactic. Yep. And they're brazen about it. They're very brazen about it online, and everybody needs to start doing their part. Make a video. Stalk them online. Comment on every single comment they make or every video that they make or any platform they go on. Get on their nerves. Bring your friends. Tell your parents. Tell your grandparents to get involved. I mean, this is for kids. And if you're not standing up for kids, you don't stand for anything. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. This is the most important thing that our country is dealing with, besides everything else that's going on. It supersedes everything, because these kids are the future. And if we let this slide, we have lost the battle. We will lose everything. We've lost enough freedoms already. Don't let go of your kids.
Well, you know, we, as you said, we've lost enough battles already. And apparently with the people, you know, even the spiritual forces of darkness that protect the humans on Earth who commit these atrocities will only be protected so much on this Earth. But when it comes to Judgment Day, they'll have no excuse and there will be nobody there to protect them. So at least we have that, you know, as something to fall back on. I kind of want to ask you a question, Elisa, a little bit, not off topic, but in a different realm or different area. There's been a phenomenon recently where we see middle-aged school teachers, what they are calling having sex romps or raping little kids. The latest one was out of Florida where a teacher got pregnant by an 11-year-old boy. I'm seeing stories like this 2-3 times a week. Is this related somehow, or is this just the mindset, the way the world is moving into this mindset of this, you know, sexual deviancy?
It's definitely a mindset, and it's an agenda that's been proposed to be put out on the masses. I'm telling you, it's not just Hollywood and cartoons that are very sexualizing children. Not just the music that is sexualizing children. I mean, you have children watching Katy Perry, and these videos are highly sexualized with child images going along with it. You know, cartoons and things, singing with her while she's talking about, you know, going and having sex with someone on a Friday night, getting drunk. This kind of programming is probably the worst culprit, because then it kind of desensitizes the children, because they think that this sexualization is normal, and that it puts, you know, it takes down that barrier of, oh, maybe I should think twice about this. You know, my you know, second grade teacher wants me to hang out with her after class. You know what I mean? It's like the cool teacher, you know, that I saw in this video or whatever. There's definitely a brainwashing process going on with the media, but then you've got to look at the government officials and the police and military officials and the corporate people and the lobbyists and, you know, the mayors and, you know, the football coaches and stuff that they got caught. But really, what did they serve? What did Dennis Hastert serve? 15 months?
Yeah. Compared to what, Wiener? Who just texted sex with somebody 27 months?
Yeah, that's what the prosecution is calling for.
Right, exactly. 20, yeah.
Okay, and, you know, Lars Silsby, who gets busted not once but twice for trafficking children out of Haiti, now she's working for Amber Alert. So you have this desensitization process going on where it's like, okay, what the hell do I do now? Everyone's, you know, a pedophile and there can be one. Okay, nothing's happening. This is empowering pedophiles to go out and do it, okay?
Yeah.
And there aren't good statistics revolving around this particular topic, just like there isn't with the child sex trafficking. Their statistics are like, oh, 50 to 90% of children in foster care, you know, put in sex trafficking situations. That's not a very good percentage you know, an accurate percentage. So that's kind of where this whole pedophile thing is coming in on. Why do people become pedophiles? You could say it's because they're molested as a child or raped as a child. That's not always the case. You could say, you know, they are, that's their sexual orientation. I do not believe that. That is just the justification for pedophiles to have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, justifying perversion.
You know, I really think it is years and years of programming by our government, by our media, by Hollywood to over-sexualize the minds of children and imprint on them things that are obscene and not normal. And you know what I mean? It's like, for example, the Canadian, you know, youth drag queen movement that is going on right now. I mean, I saw another one on Twitter. It was on my Twitter feed for like news for the day. Another 4-year-old kid whose mom dressed him up as a drag queen and paraded him all over Twitter. And it made like the top news. I'm like, what is going on here? And you have that other young boy whose parents are bringing him to nightclubs to perform burlesque shows. He's 8 years old in drag. And he says, if your parents won't let you be a drag queen, you need new parents.
Or child services.
You need child services to take you away from whoever is pushing that agenda on you, because that is a sexualized, I mean, think about it. This kid is dressed up as a woman. Okay, maybe if it was like a short set with like pink shoes and like a yellow top with a bow, fine. Like whatever, you want to dress up like a girl, fine. But literally, the sexual clothing, the makeup, the whorish makeup, it's so sexual. And then to take it the next level and bring them to a nightclub where adults are hollering and hooting and clapping for this little boy dancing sexually. I mean, it blows my mind that this is what our culture is accepting right now. People should be in the streets.
And movies, exactly, and TV, right. Like Nickelodeon. You know, I hear jokes all the time about, you know, sex offenders and how they like to sit around and watch Nickelodeon all day because of how they make the young children, you know, wear clothes that adults would wear to sexualize them. And that does nothing but lead to the problem. And it's absolutely disgusting. Melissa, we are out of time.
Yeah, we are out of time indeed. I was just going to say that. You got 1 minute. You got the floor. Close it.
Okay. Up. Well, like I said, folks, you know, get out there and connect. That's how you're going to be able to do something. Find like-minded people. If you really are at a loss, find me on Twitter. You go to twitter.com and I'm @thehoneybee_, and that's who I am there. You can find me on YouTube really easily. Just put in Honeybee Pedogate. You'll find a ton of my videos. And also, I do this full time now. I do have my own company, but I really am not working doing that as much anymore. I do a little bartending on the side, but I really do dedicate a lot of my time to this, and I don't really usually ask for money on my videos. I'm a little, you know, I'm a little weird about it still. I'm sure as time goes on, I'll be a little more comfortable asking, but I do have a Patreon account that I set up. It's Patreon, patreon.com/thehoneybee. And if you want to donate a buck, I'll get a buck from you every month, and that will help me be able to do this full time, because it is a full time job, and it's definitely an important job that we all should be doing. So hopefully I'll see you a lot on Twitter. You guys find me, okay?
We want to thank you for what you do. Folks, this the Honeybee, the real deal. She's an excellent investigative journalist, and we know her. I'm a fan of your work. We will follow you. We urge everyone to support you. Please come back and let us know how things are progressing with the various cases you're working.
You got it. I'll be there.
All right.
That'll do it for us tonight, folks. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Have a great evening. We'll